I'd like to welcome everyone and thank you for coming to the joint pre-bid conference today for DA00222 and DA00223. As I said, the meeting will be recorded. I guess to begin with, my name is Barry Hobbs, and I'm the Division Project Manager. I'll be covering the proposals today. I'd like to go around the room, if we could, and just make sure we know who all is in attendance.
Pablo Hernandez, NCDOT, from the Manio Residence Office.
Adam Mankowski, NCDOT, from the Manio Residence Office.
Stephen Byram, Sunland Builders.
Gary Cooper, Cooper Construction.
Sonny Cooper, Cooper Construction.
Richard Gitchin, Dane Construction.
Chris Slack, the Division Proposals Engineer.
Jim Tanner, Dane Concrete Service.
Dick Logston, Swank Construction.
Abraham Goodman, Swank Construction.
Jay Hawkeye, RPC Contracting.
Jimmy Spivey, Barnhill Contracting.
Becky Morgan, Triangle Grading and Paving.
Jeff Thatcher, RKK.
Scott Van Orten, Design Engineer, PPC.
John Aiden, Bridge.
Okay, appreciate everybody doing that, and it's like we got a good crowd, diverse crowd in attendance today. The first proposal we'll cover will be DA00222. That's for the work close by on NC32 here in Chowan County. And these projects are for the repair of jointed concrete pavement slabs. You'll note on the cover of the proposal that a 5% bid bond or bid deposit will be required when you submit your bid on this project. Turn it over to page 4 under instructions to bidders. Many of you have bid on projects in Division 1 in the past. These instructions are fairly standard statewide, maybe not 100%, but fairly much so. We would ask that you download and return the entire proposal when you submit your bid. The proposals are posted on the Division letting site. That's where Chris has pulled this one from this morning. So you need to download that and return the entire proposal along with your bid. All entries on your bid sheet should be typed or written in ink. No pencil entries there. We ask that you submit a unit price for every item and then multiply that by the quantity to get your amount bid for that item. Any changes that you make to an item, we ask that you strike through that, initial it, and make the correct entry adjacent to it. Please do not use correction fluid, correction tape, anything of that nature, but strike through it, initial it, and make the correct entry. At the back of the package, you'll find several forms that look very similar, called execution of bid, non-collusion affidavit, debarment certification, etc. You need to pick the form that's appropriate for the way your business is organized and complete that form. If you're a corporation, please include your corporate seal on that. If you don't have a seal, you can simply draw around a quarter or a bottle cap and fashion a seal in that way. I will point out that there are places for you to sign as the president or whatever your position is. If you're an individual, there's a place for you to sign. Depending on which form you're filling out, there's also a place for a witness or an attestation on every form. Those two people can't be the same person. They need to be different individuals. I feel a little foolish saying that, but I have seen that happen. So make sure you're not witnessing your own signature. And there is a place for a notary public to sign and seal on each one of those. That needs to be completed as well. Your bid should be returned. They'll be opened in this room at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, April 29th. You need to have your bid here prior to 2 p.m. If you come in at 2:01 and the bid opening is underway, we're going to have to reject your bid, so we don't want to have to do that. An electronic EBS file is also posted on the website. If you choose to submit your bid on a CD, you still need to return the entire proposal, but you can, and you need to print out from expedite bid. You need to print the forms out that it generates and sign those and submit those along with your bid as well, but then you can give us the bid on CD. That's optional, entirely up to you. On page 6, under contract time and liquidated damages, you'll see that the date of availability for this contract is June 1st of 2015 with a completion date of November 20th. Liquidated damages are $500 per calendar day. The mandatory pre-bid conference and proposal review, there should be a sign-in roster going around. Please be sure to sign in and sign out at the end of the conference. You do have to attend the entire conference to be eligible to bid, so you get the same information as everyone else. All right. A lot of these are standard provisions. I'm not going to read those to you. You can do that.
Excuse me, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Intermediate contract time. It says you cannot alter the flow of traffic, but aren't we going to be allowed to alter the flow of traffic?
That's a good question. When we look at the traffic control plan and the actual plans, this project will operate under a road closure. So that's a good point, Jimmy. That traffic will be altered outside of this. I guess this, if you want to apply this ICT, it would be to, well, I guess it doesn't really apply at all that I can think of.
As far as probably the altering the traffic, the actual work section will be in a barricaded section, according to what we have on the plans on this project anyway. So it'll be moving along the project throughout it. I don't know. We might get omitted altogether. We're going to just operate under that traffic control plan. But if there's any work that's done outside of that, I don't know what you would be doing. But anyway.
Okay, we'll take a closer look at that, and if we need to issue an addendum, we'll do so. But that is correct. It will be done under road closure.
Thank you.
Okay, starting on page 9, under Minority Business Enterprise and Woman Business Enterprise, the MBE and WBE goals for this project are zero. If you have any participation, we would ask that you either enter that in expedite bid if you're submitting your bid on CD, or enter that participation on page 60 of the proposal, the MBE-WBE listing form provided there. If you had no participation, we would ask that you list none there, just so there's no confusion. All right. I'll direct your attention now to page 26, which begins the roadway provisions. The first provision here is repair of jointed concrete pavement slabs. Chris has provided for us here, I should have passed these around earlier, but if you take one of those and pass them around. This was inadvertently omitted from the proposal for both projects. It is the special provision for the very hourly straight concrete pavement, which the special provision for jointed concrete pavement slabs references. So that's coming around. All right, the work under both of these projects consists of the removal and disposal of existing damaged concrete pavement slabs and the furnishing and placement of new jointed concrete pavement slabs at the locations indicated in the plans. Section 700, the general requirements for Portland cement concrete pavement apply to this project, as does the special provision that's coming around now. It does mention that concrete pavement slabs should be, work should only be taking place in one lane at a time. Again, that's not applicable because the section you're working in will actually be closed at the time the work's going on, so I see no reason why you can't work the full width across the pavement. section, the next to the last paragraph talks about saw cutting the existing pavement. Saw cuts that extend into the adjacent pavement must be filled with epoxy prior to placing traffic on the new area. We do ask that while you have the concrete removed, that you take measures to protect the subgrade and base from damage resulting from surface water or rain during the period that that section is exposed. If areas are identified that we need subgrade repairs, the subgrade is weak or whatever, then there are two options for stabilization at the top of page 27. One involves the placement of a geotextile fabric, the other does not. The engineer on site will advise you which method of repair will be used at each location, and you'll be compensated accordingly. The new pavement will be secured in place, ensuring no differential settlement with the use of dowel rods in accordance with standard drawing 700.01. The vertical faces of the existing concrete will be cleaned thoroughly prior to placing the new concrete. And then the pay items for replacement of slabs are at the bottom of page 28. Repair of joining concrete pavement slabs by the square yard. Class 4 subgrade stabilization by the ton. Undercut excavation by the cubic yard if that's necessary. And then the geotextile for soil stabilization per square yard. Are there any questions about that portion of the work? That is the meat of the contract.
On this very high early strength concrete, do you really see a need for using that considering the long-term lane closure that you have out here? Typically, a slower curing concrete is going to last much longer for you. And it's very extremely expensive. I don't know if you're aware of it or not.
Some of you concrete guys, y'all.
I guess it depends on what kind of. I'll be honest, I haven't read the contract on the this one, the 222. Mm-hmm. I don't know the parameters under the lane closure or road closure timeframes that you're looking at.
How long can the road be closed? How many days?
I don't know that we've established a time. You know, as long as it takes to get it cured. But we were obviously trying to minimize the amount of time in each.
Well, one is 3 days, one is 7 days.
Right.
So, I mean, with that, I mean, that may be something for the division to consider. What our impact is to the traveling public that we're willing to take on.
You know, you get a 4-hour mix spec when a 24-hour mix would be sufficient and you'd have substantial savings on it.
Okay. We'll discuss that further and issue an addendum as necessary. Appreciate that comment, though. Any others?
Did I understand that right? You're going to entertain a substitution to this specified mix here?
We'll discuss it internally, and we'll have to issue an addendum either to add this provision or to modify it.
Okay.
So one or the other you'll see coming out in the next few days. We'll either confirm that this is what we want, or we'll tell you the standard mix or more standard mix will be accepted.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
All grading the shoulders and seeding is incidental, I take it, Barry?
That's correct.
I hadn't looked at the documents, but is there specifications in there for the type of striping to replace on the roadway?
Yes, there is, and we'll get to that in a minute, but it's okay. A polyurea with the highly reflective elements. Okay. Okay. Chris, you want to go to the traffic control detail in the plans? Okay, if you look up on the screen, if you don't have a copy of the plans in front of you, as you can see, and we will be making some relatively minor modifications to this in the form of an addendum, but basically we have barricades in advance of the actual work area, which the work area will move from one end to the other. NC 94 is on the far left end of the screen. That's Airport Road. I don't know which way you came in, but going back to Edenton, where it just ties back in to 32, the road that we're the division office is on. So in advance of that, you have barricades on the shoulders that say road closed to through traffic. And then because we have houses and driveways all along the way, as you approach the actual work area, you'll have a road closed 1,000 feet, followed by road closed 500 feet, and then barricades across the lanes to block off the actual work area during the time that you're working in that particular area. And that will, as we said, move. Obviously, there'll be some effort coordinating with citizens on driveways, and there may be cases where I just ask you to work with them as much as possible. There may be times that that's very difficult to do, but try to accommodate the adjoining property owners as much as possible.
Detour signs will be installed by DOT?
By DOT, that's correct. One item that we'll be adding, if you go back the other way, Chris, it's just a couple of signs, but the realignment of Yalpeum Road a year or so ago is not shown here, but we will have road closed ahead next left from that direction approaching as well. It'd be off to the top of your screen there. So there'll be a couple of extra, but that will be in an addendum where we'll revise this to reflect that. There are some other subdivision streets and all that we do not plan to address in that manner, but Yalpeum we thought had a high enough traffic volume that we should do that. Traffic control, it will be lump sum. Okay, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, the pavement markings on this project will be 4-inch yellow and white polyurea with highly reflective elements. I'll just point out on page 53, I feel like I've seen the names of most of the companies that were mentioned as you introduced yourselves, but you must be pre-qualified as a pre-qualified bidder or purchase order prime contractor to bid on this project. On page 53, I'll just point that out as well. Okay, any other questions or comments on DA-00222?
Is there any density testing on the subgrade before the concrete's placed back?
That's a good question. You remember, Scott, in that provision?
I don't think so.
size of the dowels going in here, you know, says on the plans approximately 8.5, but to match what's existing,
mm-hmm.
your dowel size changes depending on the thickness of the concrete. How are you going to address that? If you pull up and you got a 10-inch slab, are you going to require larger dowels, or can you just base it on the size dowels required for 8.5 inches?
I'm going to ask Scott a question, then I'll answer your question. Do we know, Jeff, do we take any cores, or we, is that just an estimated depth?
They did not do cores, but they dug the shoulders and have actually spot verified the edge of the slab along there. We've got those depth readings.
It varied, so we took the best average over the length of the whole thing.
I go back and verify, but I don't think we saw variation in the slab thickness on the outside edge more than 1.5 inches. So it I would say you probably wouldn't be able to use the same size dowels consistently.
So if we tell them to base it, because I think there's a break between 8 and 8.5 in the standard drawing, if I remember. If we tell them to base their bid on, assuming everything's 8.5, we should be fine, you think?
I think that would be conservative, and if everybody agrees to that, then use the size dowels, just bid it as having your size dowels for 8.5, and if it's shallower than that, then you just, at least it's consistent. You guys aren't going to save any money having a bunch of extra dowels out there anyway, so. Is that fair to everybody?
So base your bid on, assuming the pavement thickness is 8.5 inches consistently all the way through.
1.8 inches, I think.
1.8 inches.
Barry, on page 28, it says the unit price for class 4 subgrade stabilization will be full compensation for all work covered by this provision, including but not limited to the removing of the existing base course and backfilling with class 4 subgrade stabilization. So that price for that class 4 stabilization includes excavation as well, is what you're saying here. Then right underneath of it, we say the quantity of material removed beneath the base course will be paid for as undercut excavation. What are we backfilling the undercut with? On the plans, it says to backfill it with class 4 stabilization. So there's some
the gap.
Yeah, or I don't really.
The class 4 could be a little bit inflated because of.
Correct.
Where it's going. It's not going into. Anyway, it could be inflated.
That's right. One place you're saying that it includes the removal, and then here with. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to clarify.
For us, I would think it would be better if you got paid for the stone, the class 4, to go back in there, and if you undercut it, you undercut it. Or you excavated, you know, it's cut and dried, there's no question or whatever. But
I think that's the intent of that. The vision is that you have stone underneath your base, underneath your concrete.
Mm-hmm.
If you go below your stone, anything below that would be undercut. Anything above that would be incidental to the class 4 stabilization. But I don't know if there's any stone out there. I think it's set straight on the sand.
Yeah.
Why would you remove it if you weren't undercut?
The only thing, we didn't pick up any stone. I think when they dug the edge of it, we're not sure what's underneath.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like there wasn't a pay item to cover that stone in the undercut section, though.
It's iffy. You gotta explain it.
I'll handle that item. That's what it sounded like.
That's what the stone's for, is intended. If you had undercut.
Yeah, but we don't want to pay twice. We don't want to pay for the undercut cubic yardage, and then we don't want to pay an inflated price of
the aggregate because it's supposed to include the
an excavation. Because the aggregate's already including an aggregate. I mean, in bullet number one, it's saying that the aggregate is including excavation.
Including an undercut excavation?
No.
In excavation.
In excavation. Okay. It's got an excavation cost associated with it. And then you're going to turn around and pay undercut as an excavation cost, as a separate line item, and backfill it with class 4 aggregate that already has an excavation cost associated with it. So, as the owner, that's a double charge for excavation.
That's all right.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It'd be,
I guess as an owner.
Yeah. Yeah. As a contractor, he'd like it the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure Jimmy does too. He just wants to make sure everybody's bidding it the same way.
We need to make it fair for everybody.
That's right. So that's right. We'll clarify that.
Any idea of the number of residences approximately that are going to be affected for the duration of this work? I mean, like, how many in total? Any idea?
It's right around the corner. We don't have a physical number, but it's right around the corner. You can ride it and look and see. But I know we don't have a definitive number for sure.
Yeah, it's not a extremely high population density, but probably going to be, there may be some challenging areas. Yeah, that'd be the best thing to do is look at it for sure.
Joint sealing and everything back in all joints.
Yes.
The polyurea, we only patch it during the certain patches, but we're striping back the entire road. Is that correct?
Yes.
Does any thing special had to happen with the existing pavement markings out there to put polyurea down?
Good question. It's been so long since I've put it down, I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I know the first time I used it, we had to go grind. We had to really clean the existing.
I was thinking the existing stuff had to be moved. Don't quote me on that.
Have a look
and see.
Is that now a standard item, or is it still a special provision item?
For the power?
Yeah.
It's in the spec.
Oh, it is? Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's been so long since I put it down.
That's right. Yeah. Typically, I mean, we only use it on bridges.
On bridges, nice, but yeah.
Right.
I thought it had to be removed before the good item.
That's bridge typical. I mean, can we get something more typical, or do we have to stick with this same material?
Well, I think we use it because it adheres to the concrete. These are the last two sections of concrete pavement in the division.
Okay.
So that's why the polyurea is used.
That makes sense.
Okay, anything else on DA00222? Okay, we'll change gears to DA00223. Very similar in the scope of work. Primary difference is the way we handle traffic. This is for Airport Road, SR 1116 in Manio. Bid opening is the same, April 29th at 2 p.m. here in this room. Again, a 5% bid bond or bid deposit is required when you submit your bid. Nothing as far as instructions to bidders changes. Availability date of June 1st, completion date of October 2nd, 2015. Again, liquidated damages $500 per calendar day, and the pre-bid competence requirements are the same for this project. Under ICT number one, you will see that you can work Monday through Thursday from 30 minutes. Let me make sure I'm reading this right.
I'll go ahead and say, Barry, I don't think this is right, because it said you cannot alter the flow, and you aren't we being allowed to put up a one-way traffic signal? So you are altering the flow of traffic for the project.
Yeah, you are.
The only difference is you're not shutting it down, the whole thing, but you are altering the flow.
Yeah, the primary intent, and it may not be totally clear, but there's no work on Saturdays and Sundays, is primarily what we're...
Y'all can say that to us. That's cut and dry. This right here.
thinking exercise.
Yeah, it is. I had to write it down. Okay, that's it.
It just needs to be rewritten so that it says no work can be performed, not take the traffic alteration.
Right. That is the intent, though, is that no work be performed. Now, that's not to say that you couldn't have a lane closure in place on the weekends if you had concrete that hadn't sufficiently cured by sunset on Friday and you need to leave the lane closure in place. You can do that, but you just can't be out there working on Saturdays and Sundays. Okay, again, the meat of the contract is essentially the same on page 29. I'll bring to your attention, as somebody already alluded to, we are requiring a portable traffic signal system. If you notice, there are two pay items for this. We envision using the actuated signal system out here. And the bid form should probably reflect that. It's more generic than what we have currently. But that is what we would expect as an actuated system. Any questions or concerns about that?
I wanted to pay attention to what was being said in this whole thing.
This project, I will say, if you haven't been on Airport Road, you can certainly go on Google Maps and view it, or you can visit. Highly encourage you to visit yourself before bidding on the project. But the population density there is quite a bit higher than it is here on 32. And maintaining access to driveways and properties is going to be important there as well. For that reason, the very high early strength, I think, is more appropriate there to try to restore access to those properties as quickly as possible. And that was the reason for the portable signals as well. Okay, on page 63, again, if you have any MBE, WBE participation, while the goals are zero on this project as well, we would encourage you to show that on page 63. And again, to execute your bid properly on one of the forms beginning on page 64, including witnesses, notaries, and so forth. Anybody have any further questions or clarifications on DA-00223?
Same clarifications will be made here on the undercut and the class four stabilization there.
Yes.
My only question is, this road is only 18 foot wide. So with the one lane of traffic, people are going to be running off the shoulder quite a bit, I would imagine. All that redressing, or are we going to be expected to where we don't to dress up your shoulders where we don't repair concrete? Any shoulder work? Because you're going to have the one lane of traffic, it's 18 foot wide. That's going to, if you gave them a 9 foot lane, but you pour concrete back, you're not going to give them a 9 foot lane. Mm-hmm. You're going to give them maybe an 8 foot lane, because you're going to have channelization that's going to take up part of that 9 foot. So I'm seeing them off the shoulder for additional length where you're not going to actually be doing the repair. So in essence, are we going to have to do shoulder construction for the length of the project is what I'm asking. And reseed, stabilize, all that stuff.
Pretty sandy soils out there, Pablo.
The thing is, not sandy soil, but the problem is, I mean, I don't want to say it's low, but it grows grass fairly well.
Okay.
So people, some residents may be proud of their yards, mm-hmm. and other people not so proud of what they maintain.
That's right.
Right. Right. Right.
That's the diplomatic way to say it.
But if they see something for free, they're proud of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's a good point and worthy of discussion further from the department's end.
Okay.
Because at some point in time, we've all worked around residential areas. It just takes one resident.
That's right. And then
they multiply.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we will discuss that in more detail and follow up. Thank you for bringing that back.
Barry, the question about the polyurea and if mm-hmm. the existing pavement markings were going to need to be removed, it is in section 1205 of the spec book. If it's being put on concrete pavement, 100% of the existing pavement markings have to be removed. So, that's, I guess, eradication or grinding would be sure to get 100% of it. Water blasting, we've had mixed results with, but spec does require that all of that be removed.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
So, is there going to be are you guys going to add a eradication item?
That was my question, but.
Or is it incidental?
Yeah, that's typically we would have removal.
It
yeah.
is, and it's.
Sorry. You know, a good coat of paint would go a long ways on those roads and be a lot cheaper and a lot easier.
And we'll be doing it again in a couple years.
I put down $2 foot pavement markings and they painted over it a week later.
I think, Barry, looking, we've gone away from putting poly on our bridges now because of the cost. We can go back and paint it 3 or 4 times for what it cost us to do one application of poly. I think yeah. I don't know if Sterling truly understands what the cost of poly is now. He can go out there and get traffic services to go out there and paint it every year for 10 years and be cheaper than what he can pay to have that poly put down. So I think just my opinion, I think that probably will go back to paint.
Okay.
With line removal, well, I can tell you this much, it's going to go out to sandblast it. That's the only way you're going to get 100% and having them surface well enough for it to lay on.
Which is an additional cost for the polyurea. And the snowplow gets that polyurea the same as it does the paint.
Okay, we will we'll clarify that as well. It's polyurea as of today. That's likely to change though, from what John's telling me. I didn't know we weren't using that on bridge decks anymore.
We may on new bridges, on our bridges now, like the Chowan River Bridge, we just painted it.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
I think this typical calls for a 7-inch slab to go back. Whereas the other was the 8.5, so same thing for the dowels here, everybody assume.
Yes.
The 7.
I would be comfortable. Yeah. Y'all did the same.
The smaller size, it wouldn't be the same as the other.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah. But the average, we just use that same size.
Same size for the 7-inch.
Yes.
Okay. The higher, again, I went with the higher of the average to cover it.
So bid it all the 7-inch.
That's correct. Yes. Bid it all 7-inch. Thank
seven
you.
And a half.
I meant to point that out, Jim.
7-inch up there and 8.5 on the channel.
Correct. Anything else? Well, if not, we appreciate everyone coming out again. Make sure you sign out at, if you're a contractor planning to bid as a prime. Yes. And we will post the pre-bid conference roster online as well as the recording from today's meeting. That will be posted online as well. Thank you.